Romans chapter 11. I want to start in verse 25. What, were y'all taking bets on what I was going to start in? You know you're going to go to hell for betting. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Thank God. Amen. See, you've got that one figured out now. Romans 11, verse 25. Let's read in the Bible, would we? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, hang on. I'm going to put the chart up that we put so often on the board. And the reason we don't use these bad markers is they don't show up. Oh, yeah. Matthew through John. And the reason we use this time chart, and I want you to understand, is people don't understand until they see it laid out prospectively where things are fitting. I mean, they just don't get it. And so you have the book of Acts and the saving of the Apostle Paul, and then 13 books he writes. By the way, I don't believe that Paul wrote Hebrews. That's the New Testament laid out. Oh, I need to put the books over here of Hebrews through Revelation. And that's how it's laid out. Anyway, the fullness of the Gentiles is the church, the body of Christ. That's what it is. And he says, become in. And so, watch verse 26. And so, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. You see that? Well, yeah, I've got the, here he is, right here. That's the mark. That's called the what? Second coming. All right? Right there's the mark. I've got it. There's no doubt where that mark is. That mark is right there. Okay? Now watch. And so, all Israel are saved. Shall be. As it is written, there shall come out as on the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Well, where did they get that? Go to Matthew and back up two books and go to Malachi. Zechariah. Well, no. Oh, look at her. Oh, that's great. She's screaming out the verses. That's good. Well, it's actually when it happens, but I'm going to pick it up in Zechariah 13, verse 1. 14:4 is where his feet actually touch Mount Olive. But 13:1 is that you've heard that song, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Well, that fountain didn't even have to do with you. Hate that. It's a nice little song, but it doesn't work for the church. But it does work here, and this is where they got the idea. In Zechariah 13, read with me, if you will, in verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for what? Uncleanness. You need to put Romans 11, verse 25, if you don't have it written right there, in your Bible. You'll definitely want to compare it. But I want you to come back. In that day is this day right here, guys. That's the day it's talking about, right there. And Gene yelled out 14:4. That's when his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. That's that day right there. You understand? I know where that day is. I don't know the day. I know where it is on the chart. You all understand? And he says, there shall be a fountain open for the house of David. For who? Well, who would that include? It'd include Israel. Would it include you? No. And for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, who would be in Jerusalem? Jew and Jewish proselytes.
For what?
For sin. Well, let's see what Peter said. Go to Acts chapter 3. You may want to write Acts chapter 3 in your Bible right there before you turn. 19. Yes. She's not listening to you. She's screaming at her own time and in her own place. Acts 3:19. Now watch how this fits together. Peter preaching. Now, you know, if you believe the church started when Acts chapter 2 happened, you'd be in trouble with this passage. That would include 90% of the churches out there. Now watch what it says. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Is that a good thing? Is that a guarantee? Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, when is this presence going to come? Right here. What did they say in Acts chapter 1? They were sitting in Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, back here, look what he said to them. Go to Acts chapter 1 since you're in the book of Acts. Aren't you glad you got me as your Bible teacher? Better than a poke in the eye. Patty says barely. Now watch this. I'm going to just kind of cut into context in verse 9. I'm just breaking in, but you can read the whole thing if you want. I'm just trying to find a piece. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? Now watch, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. What were they expecting? As he went up, he was going to come back. Was his feet on the ground when he went up? Is his feet going to be on the ground when he touches back?
Amen.
Yes. Yes, that's a fact. That's what's going to happen. What is Israel looking for? In that day, there should be a what? Fountain open, deep and wide. And that fountain is going to be open for Israel for what? For sin and for uncleanness. Who's it open for? Israel. Who had God promised a Savior to? Israel. Look in Luke chapter 1. He didn't promise the world a Savior. He promised Israel a Savior. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. In Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 1. Read with me, if you will, in verse 67. Luke 1, verse 67. See, guys, the problem is churches today are just mixing it up like scrambled eggs. And that's okay, but if you want the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God comes by rightly dividing. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Well, there's a wrong way of dividing it. Luke, 1 verse 67, and his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and professed, saying, blessed be the Lord God of the world. Of Israel, you see that? Of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people, which would have been who? Israel. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant, what? That matches Zechariah 13, verse 1. I would definitely put that in my Bible right there. I would definitely put that in. Yeah, you can put Hebrews 2:17 in there.
Oh, I didn't have the one.
Who did God raise Jesus Christ for?
Israel.
Israel. Raised unto us a Savior for Israel. Very important. Go back to Romans chapter 11, where we started this whole thing. Romans chapter 11. This is probably, guys, listen to me. This is not a little bit important. This is gigantic. Why? People are walking around confused. People are literally confused to the doctrine. You know what? People don't know whether they should be speaking in tongues or whether they shouldn't. Anybody had those questions come up? Some of the churches debate it. Say some say you should be speaking in tongues. Some say you shouldn't. Some say you should be baptized. And some say you don't need to be baptized. You need to be sprinkled. Well, who's right? How do you know? Well, you know it good if you study your Bible. You would know it if you studied your Bible rightly divided. Why? Because you would understand. Look what he said again in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. You know how many people are? Lots. And that's shame on, it's not shame on them, it's shame on their teachers. Y'all understand? I mean, I think there's people out there that want to know the truth, don't you? And they're sick of religion. They want to figure this book out. And they want to get it together. Well, thank God I had a teacher that helped me get it together. Watch. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, and some are, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Do we know when that is? Second coming. So you should have Acts 3 verse 19 written right there. Zechariah 13 verse 1. And Zechariah 14:4 written in your Bible on that verse. Why, that's the proof text. This isn't some philosophy of Barry. This is what the Bible says. And the Bible verses back it up. And then he says, and so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. Where was it written? I just gave you the places. I just gave you the places where it was written. Now you got it. Now you got where he said it was written. Now you got the place it was written. You know what that makes you? Smart. Yeah. I mean, you know, this thing gets so silly. I'm not trying to, hey, listen, there's people thinking that you're going to die and go to the pearly gates. They have no clue it's a city that's going to actually come down from heaven. It is in heaven. And you know why it's physical? There's some physical living people that need it. Folks, we're beyond physical realms. When we get raised up, the Bible calls us quickening spirits. We don't need confinement of time, space, or place.
Quickening spirit is the same thing as new creatures.
I would say you're a new creature now, but you're not a quickening spirit yet. You will be, your bowel body will be redeemed. And you will recognize it even though you are that new creature inside. But come on, guys, there's people that don't know whether they should be speaking in tongues, whether they shouldn't. You know, they don't know whether they should be baptized or not. Isn't that true? People are confused. Well, my job isn't to confuse you. My job is to straighten it out. Well, he promises Israel, look in verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them. Who's the them? Israel, write that in your Bible. You'll forget it. The them equals Israel. When I shall take away their sins. Well, hold it. Look in Colossians chapter 2. In comparison, you might want to write that in your Bible, if you trust me, or just hold on and write it after you read it. Now watch this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Well, what did Romans 11 say? When I shall take away their sins. Well, what about your sins? Already done. Well, how can that be the same salvation? How could that be the same gospel? How could that be the same message? How could that be the same hope? How could that be the same? I mean, how is that the same?
It ain't.
One says, I'll forgive them when I come back. And the other one says, you've been forgiven already. Boy, amen, brother. You all got it? Now listen, if you got that, you got 90% of things that people in churches don't have. What am I saying? I'm saying Israel's going to be forgiven when? At the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When were you forgiven? At the cross. That song, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now, that would not be true of Israel. The truth of Israel would have been, at the cross, where he paid for this with his blood, will be forgiven at the second coming. You all understand? Their burdens wouldn't have rolled off. Why, they're under burden until they get to that fountain. He calls it the tribulation of your faith, the trial of your faith. I mean, that didn't sound like some burden's been rolled off, but it has for me been rolled off. You know what? My salvation is complete and clear and free, and I have eternal security. That's another thing that gets so crazy, doesn't it? People say, well, I don't know if you can have eternal security. I mean, what happens if you commit adultery after you're saved? Huh? What part of all your sins being paid for at the cross did you not get? You see, say, well, that homosexual, if he was really saved, come out of that. Well, I don't know any adulterer that came out and quit adultery. You say, well, he didn't go around committing adultery. I bet he's lusted after a few women with his eyes. How much you want to bet? It'd be like this. You know? Oh, my contact got stuck. Trying for that blind look, you know. He really did go blind. Guys, listen to me. Paul brought a different message. A different time for salvation. You're not waiting. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Another a reiteration of what we saw in Colossians. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I love this stuff, don't you? Better than a poke in the eye anyway. Peggy's going, anything would be better than the poke in the eye, Barry. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you all. That's the southern version. That's the southern version, speaking version. Which I preached unto y'all, as you also know, which also you've received. Brenda's probably shaking her head going, oh my gosh, that husband of mine, I shouldn't have given him the extra caffeine. Honey, I just got started.
The new Southern King James Bible.
Yes. For all you that are having problems reading that King James, we got the new Southern King James. Oh Lord, this is more fun. I'm telling you, you couldn't have this much fun and pay for it. But if you wanted to pay for it, there is a place in the... No, I'm just kidding. By which also ye are saved, going to be saved, shall be saved, may be saved, are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, let me ask a question. Are your sins paid for?
Yes.
Man, they're gone. Go back to Romans chapter 11. 27. For this is my covenant unto them. Who's them?
Israel.
Come on, you guys can do it better than that. What?
Israel.
When I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, they are what? Why are we acting like we're friends with Israel? Listen, Israel is not your friend. They're low MI. You know whose friend you are? The world's friend. You've got the gospel of life. You've got the gospel that can save people. You've got the gospel that can bring about eternal life. You've got the gospel that is the most exciting thing given to you ever on planet Earth. You can give out with your mouth eternal life. There are very few things people can say, well, I can give you a car. I mean, this cash for clunkers, that's a pretty good deal. But what about eternal life? That's what we're talking about. Eternal life, that's good stuff. Carlton, wouldn't you say that's a little bit better than cash for clunkers? For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sin. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. As touching the election, they are beloved of the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Well, come on. Is God going to save Israel? Yeah, did He promise that? He's not going to go back on what He said. But He's not going to save them until when? Right there in time. When are you saved? The moment you trust the Lord. Now, this is important. Why? That's why He says what He says. Go back into Romans 11. And I'm going to start in verse 5. Romans 11, verse 5. Now, since you kind of got the context, I'm going to read down to it. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of what? What does it say? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. You need to put Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 right there in your Bible. And if by grace, then it is no more work. What's grace? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Right there in your Bible. How many glad they're getting their notes taken good? Go home and share it with all your friends. Very important. You don't know which friend has this information and what doesn't. That's true. And if by grace then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. I'd put Titus chapter 3, verse 5 right by that part of the verse. What then? Israel have not obtained that which it seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber eyes, that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be a snare, a trap, a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. Unto who? Israel. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Everybody. God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the what? What happened to Israel? Israel fell. They had a fall. And in that fall, salvation then could come onto the who? Gentiles. Until the Gentiles become in. Romans 11:25. Until that point, then Israel will come back and be taken into that moment when their sins will be what? Forgiven. But as touching the gospel, they are what? They are enemies. What?
When Israel fell, there was no way for the Gentiles to be saved.
Right.
You got it. That's the whole point of that second mystery. When Israel became Lo Am I believe that was Acts 28. God, after Acts 28, didn't try to save any more Israel as Israelites. And so, how did you always get saved before? A Gentile must what? Bless a Jew. According to the covenant. Well, now what does that covenant mean? There is no Israel. How does God get to you? See, God's covenant said, I will bless them that bless thee. And your blessings fell down, and I gave you the Syrophoenician woman who was a dog, Gale like that, because we used her dog. They eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table, or in her case, the kitchen. I mean, he's like a shark running around looking for that spillover. You know? Well, that's the way it was. Well, what happens if Israel went away? What could Gentiles do then? All right, let's practice. Rut-row. All of a sudden, you don't have Israel to go bless. So how could God save anybody after Acts 28? And the only way is through the portal of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. Why? You don't have to bless a Jew. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of
works.
Which would have been what? What would have the works have been?
Blessing Israel.
Gosh, you are such bright kids and students. I love you. I know you're shouting on the internet the exact words. You guys are getting it. How many's getting it? Isn't this a... Well, you two, three ain't getting it? You're just full from lunch.
Already.
Well, then I'll sit down. Oh, amen. Thank you, Jean. Jean's getting it. Have they stumbled that they should fall? But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, or to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and wasn't it? When they fell, what happened? Whosoever, Romans 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, whosoever? Would it have been whosoever back here? Would it have been whosoever in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? How about Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
No.
It wouldn't have been whosoever. It would have been to the Jews, the Jewish proselytes, and the Gentiles that feared God. And that's it. Outside of that, there would have been nothing. But now it's, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wow. powerful. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles." Verse 13, grab it. "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Who's the apostle to the Gentiles?
Paul.
Go to Romans 15, verse 16. Start in verse 15. Romans 15, 15. "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you into some sort as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles." Who's the preacher and the apostle to the Gentiles?
Paul.
Go, if you will, to 1 Timothy. I'm going to start in verse 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I hope Miss King is watching down in Elba. I get such nice notes from you. I can't wait to meet you in person. You are something else. Maybe Peggy will watch us up in St. Louis and drop me a note every now and then and say, "Hey, I watched today and you were terrific," like Laura King does. It makes me feel good. While the rest of the world is beating me up, have a few pat me on the back. I need that every now and then.
Well, Miss King's sitting in a recliner, reading and watching on her big screen TV.
I know, I'm on the big, man, I'm bigger than life then, aren't I? Well, if we can show you how to hook your thing up to the internet, from the internet to your TV, so you can watch me on your TV in your favorite recliner, and don't have to watch me on a laptop, or it takes one cable, and you're there. And Wayne's an expert, so call Wayne. Trust me, Wayne can do anything.
You know what?
He can't. I'll give him the book and train him to do it, and then let him do it. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. "Who will have all men to be saved?" Who's the who? It's the God our Savior of verse 3. See that? God our Savior. Who? God our Savior will have all men to be saved. Could he have had, by the way, all men to be saved back here in the Old Testament? No, because those that had cursed, could he save them? No, what were they under? A curse. Y'all with me? But now, he would have all men to be saved. Man, that would have to take the portal of grace. "And to come unto the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Who's the preacher, teacher, and apostle to the Gentiles?
Paul.
Paul. Paul. Isn't that fascinating? I find those things fascinating. Don't you find them fascinating? I find those fascinating. People just glaze right over them at church. They don't know what they're talking about. Just don't even find it interesting. But I find it fascinating. Don't you? Well, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Carlton, how are you doing? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Well, I'm going to do verse 10. "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." And by the way, what appearing is that? Acts chapter 9. Not the second coming. Acts chapter 9, when he's shown down around Paul. "Who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through blessing Israel." Through the what? Through the gospel. "Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher." Appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Who's the preacher, teacher, and apostle to the Gentiles? Do you know how many churches are teaching that today? Let me give you a hint. Very few. Now, why is that important? Because the doctrine to the church, the body of Christ, are found in 13 books, which are?
Romans through Philemon.
Romans through Philemon. Now, if that's the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, and most of the churches are keeping you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, aren't you going to be a little bit confused? Aren't you going to have to think of yourself as a spiritual Jew? Or somehow part of Israel? Because without that, you're not going to make it. Grace, separate apostle, 13. How many apostles over here? Well, isn't that fascinating that God put a double confirmation in it? They had 12. What happened? Well, he betrayed the Lord first. It wasn't like he just said, I'm going to commit suicide. I had too much Prozac. I'm having suicidal thoughts. No, this guy killed the Lord Jesus Christ by betraying them. Then he went out and killed himself. So let's keep that in perspective. But then in Acts chapter 1, they add one, and Peter says, Peter standing up with 11. Peter plus 11. How many tribes?
12.
How many thrones?
12.
How many foundations?
12.
How many gates?
12.
Fascinating, isn't it? Then you got over here, one apostle, one body, one faith, one hope. One, you starting to see the difference? Over here, Israel's predominant. By the way, I mean, just think about this. I mean, I want you to put on your thinking caps for just a minute, okay? So let's all put them on. Come on. Come on, put them on. Squeeze them down. Oh, you're afraid to pull your toupee off. You pull it down. Now take your fingers and put them up like this. Everybody, come on. Come on. All right. Everybody get your fingers up. Come on, Wayne. Put them right here. Push up and smile some. Okay, that's good. Peter standing up with the 11. That's 12 men. Paul comes along with a separate message. Why did Paul's message not come out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? For had they known it, they would never have what? So God kept it and revealed it to who?
Paul,
what did he reveal? That Christ died for our sins. How many sins did Christ die for? Is suicide included in that?
Yes.
Adultery?
Yes.
Murder?
Yes.
Rape?
Yes.
All of it. You're forgiven. Period. Say, well, I don't feel forgiven. Doesn't matter what you feel like. That's the facts. You are forgiven. So I don't feel like it. Well, it doesn't matter what you feel. What happens if you had a bad case of gas? You might be thinking you're feeling something from the Holy Spirit. The fact is, it's a fact. Paul was uniquely separate. Paul was an example. Look what it said in... let me get my wits about me. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now watch this. I'm going to start in verse 11. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God who was committed to my trust. Whose trust? Paul's trust. Why was it not committed to the 12? For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, 7, and 8. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first. Was it in the 12 first? In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering and a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul, the first. Well, if Paul is the first, could Peter have gotten it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Could he have taught it in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7?
No.
And what is a pattern? You know, Larry's taught me a lot over the years. Here's some facts from Larry that you can bank on. All right, you might want to write these down. These are almost like etched in stone. Yes, this is from Larry. If you go to build something, it's going to cost more and take longer than you think. That's a fact of the universe. Okay? Huh? Larry told me that. In fact, I got my sister on. She said, we have budgeted, and we're just about extreme budget and doing this kitchen at $50,000. And the first thing I said, well, let me get an expert on the line. I'll let him tell you. Say, Larry, what do you know about construction? First thing he says, takes longer, costs more than you think. That's a fact. Larry has a lot of good sayings. That one is really, really good. But the whole idea of this gospel and where it's going, you can't preach a gospel you've not heard any more than you can go back to a place you've never been. Y'all got it? It's an impossibility. This whole thing about the pattern. It's the same thing. If these people are the pattern, then Paul is not the pattern. How do I know? Well, in construction, back to Larry, you go to cut a rafter. And that rafter is a certain degree. And if you use this as a pattern, the next one's going to be just a little bit longer. Because your line, as you draw that line on the outside, will make it a little longer. Then if you make the next one a pattern, and the next one a pattern, what starts happening? Yeah, it starts getting longer and longer. Y'all with me? Just a little bit off. And after you do 10, 20 boards, you can be off a quarter of an inch. Or half an inch. You can get off that much. Well, God didn't make them the pattern and then made Paul the pattern, because that would be extending it. Paul says that I am the pattern for those that would hereafter believe on life everlasting. He is the pattern. What did he do? Nothing. He's out trying to kill Jews. I said I'm going to say Christians, but they weren't Christians. They were Jewish believers. He wasn't doing anything right. He wasn't seeking God at some old-fashioned altar. He wasn't down there slinging snot in some church service where there was a revival. He's out creating hellion, crucifying and committing people to murder people, creating havoc, Acts chapter 8 says. I mean, he's raising all kinds of sand. And you know what the Lord does? Saves him. You know, the Lord told him, all your sins are forgiven. Now listen, this statement in Acts 13 is precious. Precious. Go to Acts 13. Oh, I went right past it, went into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, kept going. Acts 13. I want you to read with me in verse 38. Were you right? Larry, you're getting good, brother. After 22 years. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you The forgiveness of sins, you might want to underline that. That's the very first time mentioned in your King James Bible that you have forgiveness of sin. Very first time. And by Him, all that believe are justified from how many things? All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. What were some of the ones that you couldn't be justified by?
Murder,
adultery, blasphemy. Well, he was a blasphemer and he was a murderer. What would have happened by the law of Moses? Yeah, there'd been no hope. Man, isn't that precious? I mean, you couldn't go to, listen, you know, the Catholic Church says that you go and sit down in the confessional and you talk to the priest and you say, well, I've committed murder. Hey, Father, I've been out with the gang a little, you know. I kind of diced up a person or two. Father, I need forgiveness. And Father goes, hey, you can be forgiven. Well, the priest in the actual Bible couldn't get that forgiveness. They heard that he diced up somebody. You know what they would have done? They would have grabbed him and take him out to the pit and stoned him to death. Say, Father, I know you can forgive everything. I committed adultery with my best friend's father. You know, I need forgiveness. Not in the Old Testament. Those priests would have grabbed him and snagged him and taken him out and stoned him. Do you understand? That's why that verse says, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's grace. That's endless love. That's forgiveness of sins. Boy, isn't that a great picture.
Amen.
You know, you don't get these pictures and they, I mean, come on, guys. Paul is your apostle. Paul is your pattern. Paul is the man who brings you a message of forgiveness and tells you that Israel's work and stuff has been set aside, lay aside. Man, let me tell you what, if you're not getting this picture, you know how many people know this picture? How many think do you know that could have an intelligent discussion about this? I doubt very many. Well, and a few on the internet. Let's not forget them. Yeah, no, that's true. Not very many. And the reason I'm telling you this is not to say how great I am because I'm a worthless piece of nothing, but how great this book is.
Amen.
That's unique. People aren't Bible believers anymore. I loved spending some time with Peggy and Gail and Joe after class on Sunday. We went out to eat at Mary B's, had some great Southern cooking and all that. But I was admiring how they were raised. They may not understand the mysteries and all that, and it takes a little while. Bless God, these girls were raised to believe the Bible. You know what? I don't want a denomination over I want the truth out of the Bible. I want the Word of God rightly divided. I want to know what part is. I mean, you can start to get trapped. You know, that tongue issue. Remember me mentioning the tongues? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look, if you will, in verse 22. Watch this. You might get confused on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Everybody, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. You got that? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 14. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Watch this. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Who requires a sign? The Jews require a sign. Well, why would people be speaking in tongues in a Gentile church? That's weird, isn't it? You know what Paul tells us? He tells us be careful. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who requires a sign? The Jews require a sign. What are tongues? Tongues are for a sign. Who requires a sign? The Jews require a sign. You got it? Watch this. Verse 9. Even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What do you think is going to be a lie? It's going to be those miracles and wonders and signs. Well, look in Revelation 13. Look what he's going to send them. And because people don't know that we're not trying to have signs today, they will be deceived. And there will be thousands of them. There'll be religious zealots. And they will lose their lives. Oh, I would say.
Second Thessalonians.
No, we're in Revelation 13.
Before what?
Hang on just a second. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Verse 13, Revelation 13, 13. And doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceiving them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. You see that? I'd put 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 right there in my Bible if I was you. Revelation 13, 13. Now, I believe God is using some devices that He gave to Israel. Why would the Gentile churches need a sign? We seek after what? Wisdom. So why would they be speaking in tongues today? There'd be no means because the Jews
require a sign.
Everybody. The Jews require a sign. What are tongues? Tongues are for a
sign.
That's clear as it can be. So I need a new translation on that one. No, you don't. But if you want the Southern version, it goes like this. Y'all listen up. I'm kidding. Easy stuff. Yet it's difficult. You know why? Because of what we've heard all our lives. People say, well, if you're right, then all these other people are wrong. Listen, it's been that way the whole time the Bible has. David had this little group of people that were believers, the rest of Israel in unbelief. You know? I mean, it just has always been that way. Joseph, sold off as a slave, rest of the world going to hell. He saves the world, him and just a couple people. Noah is another example. Eight people. I mean, God has always done the little group. Welcome to the little group.
40 years they wandered, they wouldn't believe.
Absolutely. Guys, listen to me. You say, well, there has to be bigger people. Well, there's a lot of people that believe. Ask Carlton. He's meeting them all over the world through Dim and some of these other things that's going on, and the webcast is reaching tons, and you can reach this truth anywhere. But let me tell you what, you can't deny the words say what they say, period. And what you've got to do is say, you know what, above everything, I'm going to be a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God.
Amen.
Period. Doesn't matter what it costs me. Say, will it cost you some friends? Well, Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That can happen. I've had it happen a few times. People get mad at me. You know, I'm not here to win friends and influence people. My job is to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So with that, I'm ending. Any questions?